is the 311 Radio Show, where we learn all about the work of the Barbados Fire Service, focusing towards a safer Barbados.
Okay, welcome to the 311 Radio Show, and of course, I'm very happy to be here at KB Clean with the Barbados Fire Service and Rescue. When us forget that it ain't only fires, these people are on the scene for every little incident, everything, all the shows too, you know. I mean, you got big shows and things, and Buju coming to town and things, fire service got to be there. Cricket, yes, they're there too, you understand? The Barbados Fire Service working really hard to make sure that you feel safe and trying to help you prevent anything from happening. Now, we usually go through the topic of the week and our discussions, a little fire service news, the do's and don'ts while on the road and when it comes to fire, and also maybe a memorable fire or accident in Barbados. And I think today, Officer Natasha Ford, I call her the fearless female firefighter Ford, is going to have a testimonial from someone. Who's it going to be?
Yes, today we are having Ishaka McNeil. He's joining us.
Whoa, he's a big star. Yes. All right. And I remember, unfortunately, that Ishaka's house was destroyed in Long Gap some years ago. So we'll be hearing from an actual fire victim in Ishaka McNeil, and he's dramatic too, so he knows how to bring it over. I can't wait to hear that part of the show. So let's look at what the fire service is doing now. Welcome to 2019 with the Barbados Fire Service, still reaching out with public service announcements, and this, the 311 Radio Show, Officer
Most
Ford.
Definitely. And as our mandate says, you know, we're there to serve and protect, not like the police force, of course, but in our own way.
Your own way, yeah.
Yes, and to educate persons. And so far, we've rolled out the year, and we've been doing that. Apart from the programs that you're talking about, the voiceovers, the messages that continue to play on air, we've been going through the city asking persons, how can we better, you know, use our services to protect you? What else can we do? Fire service to enlighten others, educate others. We've been warning persons, you know, the grass season is coming up, or the dry season. Don't wait until, you know, outside is dry, dry, dry. At this point in time, you want to share those few extra pounds you put on during the Christmas period? Get a cutlass, get a weed whacker, go out there in the community and start doing some work. Don't wait until we know it's that point in time and they say to the fire officers, this grass is burned up here every year, or whatever the case is. Do something to protect yourself.
So the dry season is the time that you can actually get that grass down, and hardly any rain is falling, so it won't grow back anytime.
Thank you.
So I like that.
Now is the appointed time to act. We are too laid back. We always wait until the last minute and then want to do this and do that. Again, persons out there with respiratory ailments, if you know you're in a situation where these areas, you have these grass fires, get out there and do something to protect yourself. You know, we like to sit down and we wait on this body to do this for us and do that. What about us getting up and doing something for ourselves? We need to be more resilient.
I like that idea. Now, you just mentioned that you serve and protect, but you're not like the police. My question, and I just ran through my mind, if you go to a fire, and you see a man running away from the fire that looked like he started, you can't hold you're an officer. I figure you should be able to hold you until I get there, at least on horror police.
We have some measures of that we can do. In terms of holding or restraining, I would not advise anyone to do that.
Okay.
Unless you're island constable.
Yes.
At that point in time, or you can even, if some person knows the person, you can identify the person, you can get the information to the police officers and they can act on the information that we provide. But in terms of restraining, no, we don't have powers of arrest. When it impeding us from doing our job, yes. If you impede us, yes. But just to see a man running away, we don't have any evidence that he did start it. Many times people look guilty.
Oh, it's a good thing I am a fire officer then. Not people be in court all like, no. But seriously, if you see how the grab up the hoses down there when they're training at the fire service, you would know you don't want to get grabbed by all these people, boy. They do some serious training over there. And also, I think last training session, you all beat the Barbados Defense Force.
Yes, we did.
And they don't train easy. They don't play. I see them turning over a 100-pound tire, crawling through all sorts of fire. Okay, and then somebody, like, I think it was you, Natasha Ford, look at me and said, are you going to do it? I'm like, no!
Yeah, that he did not take up the challenge. I don't understand. We would have lessened the load for you.
I want to go up in that ladder that they go up in, but not with a fire though. I just want to go. I just want to go up in the ladder. Now, speaking of which, now we're talking about all these things. I I have to give kudos to the Barbados Fire Service. After the other day, they were called to an establishment which had 150,000 gallons of burning alcohol. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you, I don't know if one ever know alcohol is burned, but dying easy. And I saw, I was privy to some of the pictures that the people in Black Rock take, you understand? Because my people don't cool out. And they took some pictures and everything. The ladders were up, the foam was going. I mean, what was that like? I mean, describe that fire. That had to be a big one, man.
First thing first, imagine we were training. That same ladder that you're talking about, we call it the CLP. It is our turntable, well, basically kind of like our turntable ladder.
Combined ladder platform.
You remember?
Yes.
Right. So it goes to 104 feet. And we were doing training last week on that same vehicle. Now imagine you're in the middle of training and all of a sudden an officer comes out and, monkey is on fire, monkey fire. And y'all have to go. Everybody's like, he for real or he kidding around?
Always on call.
And it's like, okay, well, we know the other truck had went somewhere to do other training. So it's like, okay, this seems to be it. And when another officer came out, this was Officer Bourne. They want everything. You should just see people scrambling, just trying to make sure every appliance down there was manned. So it was the CLP. It was the rescue tender.
Oh.
We had water tender 11 and the tanker. So it's like four or so vehicles responding from down there.
So what you're telling me is that all that equipment that you showed me when we were on tour of the fire stations, you had to get down there?
Every single piece, yes.
Wow.
So it ended up, I mean, hearing it alone, Montgomery, you know, you're thinking in terms, okay, what scene are we going to butt upon when we arrive there? As you said, in terms of the alcohol, normally when you hear alcohol fire, you think flaming Sambuca.
Yeah, you mean?
Right. No, this wasn't a case. When we got there, I can say for sure, they had stage and area and everything, so it wasn't a case that you just rush into the area. We got a synopsis of what was going on, where we were needed, and such. Like, now, let me say up front, the CLP, the tanker, are not those vehicles that travel fast. They're support vehicles. So they don't go as quickly as the water tenders. Yeah. And they took, let me say they took their time. They got there safely. So as soon as the CLP got there, obviously because it was a tanker, we had to fight it from above. Obviously, we had to position it, and water down there was a problem. Water down there was a problem because then we had the hydrants down there. One hydrant wasn't working. Another one was barely giving anything. We could not get the tanker down there because we had mechanical problems with that. But it was okay. As we said, we're fire officers. We're trained to go. So we did something called relay pumping, which means one truck fed to the other, which was able then to get the water onto the CLP so we can get our water, foam, concentrate, and everything. I would say it was, I don't know if you can hear it, it was exciting.
Yes. Well, I mean, seriously, blood has to be pumping. You know, you must be adrenaline rushing through your veins.
Definitely. These are things you train for, you hear about, but you don't really expect them or want it to happen. And I can say for the officers that were down there, they use their heads. And in situations like that, you find it can't just be one person. Sometimes other persons come up with other scenarios. What if we try this? What if we do that? So it's always a combination. It's just, as it said, it's teamwork. Mm-hmm. So because of that teamwork, we were able to extinguish that fire without it being a big catastrophe. I mean, yes, we would have lost some alcohol, but at the end of
Sniper, you hear that? Oh, well, I'm glad everyone's safe and sound. Now, as a fire prevention officer, are you at liberty to tell me what caused the fire and how it could have been prevented?
That fire is still under investigation, last I heard, because I'm quite anxious to find out exactly what it was. We heard some alleged rumors of this and the next and the third that I cannot see because, as I said, it's alleged. Mm-hmm. So,
alleged disgrontled employee?
No.
Oh, okay. Check in. You got to check these things out. You got to ask.
But one thing I would say from Mount Gay is that their safety protocol was definitely in play. You can see when we got there that the employees were out. They were off away from the incident. We didn't have persons up inside the area having to beg them to, you know, move back, let the officers do what they're supposed to do. And that is one of the things that we find majority of the time now. When you're going somewhere, you have to be begging for room to do what you are supposed to do. Yeah. And that is not cool. We've asked our police officers when they're on scene, you know, do some crowd control so that we can operate and do what we're supposed to do. But persons out there are so relentless. Even when the police are asking them to step back, I find they just do not pay, what I say, the authority any mind. They just want to get in to get their pictures, and that's it.
Yeah, well, you see, most people weren't raised by my mother. My mother teach me to run from things that begin with an F. Like a fire, a fight, a female.
You clearly did not listen.
Go rapping and things, but that could get you into trouble. Oh, like I tell you that much. So this speaks to the Mount Gay situation, mm-hmm. and they were so prepared. It speaks to the fact that the Barbados Fire Service and Rescue has been moving them around the island doing corporate training.
Definitely. And that is one of the things that we do every year. Once you write and once you ask for it, we have Barbados Fire Academy, which is in charge of training, and they would normally work with these persons in the specialized area. We do with highly flammable liquids, like the alcohol. Again, fire prevention will help persons to regulate their policies, to help them to narrow them, to make them more correct for their establishment. And we have no problem, again, doing basic drills if something should happen. That's why we have evacuation drills. You do not know when something is going to happen. And I can tell you, I don't think the employees were at work that morning thinking that there would have been a fire that day.
Mm-hmm. Especially the disgruntled one. He didn't expect to get fired that day. I'm just checking.
Right.
All right. Well, you know what? You brought a friend along, and I understand he's Ryan Austin, sub-officer in charge of fire prevention. Welcome to the 311 radio show.
Thanks a lot.
I don't think I've interviewed you before.
No, never. This is the first time for me here.
So it's my first question for you then. Why you didn't prevent the fire down by your arm? Use a fire prevention officer.
Well, actually, that's one of the reasons that we try to, from a prevention perspective, try to educate the public as it relates to, you know, putting things in perspective as it relates to proper fire prevention methods. But this is one of the unfortunate situations that tend to occur now and then.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think that you weren't there when it started.
Oh, no.
No way you could have prevented it. Unless you got some family who was a disgruntled employee.
Disgruntled employee?
I'm just saying. My theory, right? Because you just came into the program.
Yes.
My conspiracy theory is that it was a disgruntled employee who flicked a cigarette. Say people, please. You understand? Now, you can disagree with me or not. Sure. That is white gay. No, you language. Me and my Black Rock people. I got some people from Bridge Gap who agree with me.
Well, actually, we are into investigating the whole process. So that would try to diffuse your theory. Or we will hopefully get to the truth of the matter.
So eventually, if that case comes out and I'm right, you will tell me?
Well, I will call you on site and discuss it.
What was a normal day for you, like Ryan Austin, as a fire prevention officer, the sub-officer in charge of fire prevention?
Mm-hmm. Well, my day actually is to make sure that we have a smooth running within the unit. And in so doing, what I do, I connect with my LF, leading fire officer. He's the person that works under me. And then he would be able to update me as to what we would be doing during the day. And if there's any reports, you know, as to outstanding reports that it relates to drills or that matter, make sure all of them are in sync so that I can pass them on to the relevant officer in charge.
All right. And officer, the furthest firefighter, the female firefighter, Ford, how does she fit in? Is it?
Well, she's the lifeblood of the team, all honestly. Right. And I'm so glad that I'm here working with her at this point in time, because even listening to the 311 show, because as you would know, I've been working in the operations, and when I got my Sanders off, my off day, I tend to enjoy listening to the show. And from all reports, and even listening to what I listen to, I can see that she's, you know, she's on the ball. But that don't take away from the actual working with her within the unit, because I had worked alongside her before I was in training. So we had good cooperation from there on, and she's the type of person that keeps you lively. So I'm looking forward to a very good time within the unit, and hoping that, as I said, this don't take away too from the other members. They are also vibrant, and we are all willing to go. So it makes my day happy.
Well, this Sunday, yeah. When you are listening to the 311 radio show, like now, you'll be hearing your voice coming back at you. So you got to say hello to your family and everything.
Hi, family. Nice.
Ryan Austin is the sub-officer in charge of fire prevention. And Natasha, is he a good boss?
Yes, he is.
That's because he's here.
And he knows. You see, that's a good thing about it. Even if he wasn't a good boss, I would tell you to your face, you're not a good boss.
Okay. She's a knife boy for true. Okay, so we've always heard from Natasha, her pet peeves when it comes to fire prevention and what we should do and what we shouldn't do. What is one of the major things you would like to see change when it comes to the views of the society on fire prevention?
Well, what I would like to see happening more so is that we can be able to educate the public even more. And one of the things that we find that is that, you know, we don't have enough teeth as we would like, as in terms of enforcing the codes that we would like to see in
the codes?
Fighting codes.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is something that I would like to see happening, so that we have more enforcement, more teeth, so that we can be able to make sure that when we see the persons that we don't want them to be doing like in terms like if I say you should have fire alarm systems or extinguishers, or you should have exit routes and so forth, we would like to know that we could have more things to say to them, but if they don't do that, this is the penalty that would be incurred.
Money fee treasury.
Okay, so there's nothing in place right now that if people don't follow your consultation, there's nothing in place to, there's no repercussion.
Not quite.
Not okay.
Right. One of the things, the chief fire officer does have authority if you don't carry out certain compliance, if you're not fire safety compliant. He has the right, in accordance or in conjunction with the chief labor officer, to close any business in Barbados. We also have the right to refuse to issue you with a fire safety certificate. And once you don't have that certificate, then it kind of hampers you from carrying out operations. If you do carry out operations, then you're doing it illegally, which now puts you in another bind, because you need, you know, to have certain regulations, you need to have certain certificates and such like in place, especially when we're talking about the tourism sector, the hotels, the villas, Child Care Board again, they all ask for these certificates to be in place. So even the small shops, again, thanks to the Shaw's Act, there are requirements that are there that you have to fulfill. If you don't fulfill these requirements, then we have all rights to ask you to cease and desist.
So if the Barbados Fire Service and Rescue suggests that you have 2 fire exits, get 2 fire exits. One time they come to me and suggest that I should have 1,000 less people in gymnasium, and now there are 1,000 less people in gymnasium, okay? So you really gotta deal with the people and let them know that they're there for the prevention of anything happening. Now, speaking of things happening, you were talking to me off the air about something that you saw the other day as one of your pet peeves.
Oh my goodness, yes. I don't understand how it is that we as parents, adults, we bring children into this world, and we don't look out for them at every single avenue that we can when they're in our presence. When I say this, I mean this. On Thursday morning, I was driving to work, and Zed... All right, I'm going to call the rest of these. Right. These 2 individuals, they're sitting inside the car. They have on their seatbelts, mind you. There's this little infant in between the 2 seats. And I can see he was there for a while, because driving behind them, saw him. When we got up to the stoplights, I was in my clothes and my civilian clothing. And I just turned on him and I was like, why isn't he in a car seat, or why don't you have him restrained with his seatbelt? The guy looks at me. I can't afford a car seat. You can give me one. So I turned and asked. I said, you're being rude with it too? Officer, no, but I just mean that. How the heck can you say you care for a child and put a child at risk like that. True. If any, you go down the road and something happens, somebody come from behind, breaks sudden, that child is going to be impacted. You have on a seatbelt. The mother, the aunt, whoever the person, other person was inside the vehicle, they're also wearing a seatbelt. But you leave a child to be a missile inside the car.
That's true.
And if people fail to realize that when they're going along, if a vehicle is moving at 80 miles per hour, you are also going at 80 miles per hour. And once you come to a sudden stop, what's going to happen?
That child will be impacted or impaled.
And then you want to bring down God off.
Impaled. I know this for sure, firsthand.
You want to bring down God off. The paramedics didn't do enough. The fire service didn't get there in time to get him out the vehicle. And what did you, as a parent or guardian, what did you do?
Prevention, that's what you're talking about. Please, parents and guardians and anyone who's driving around with the little children and yourself, wear the seatbelts. You know, the Barbados Fire Service is tired coming with the jaws of life to cut people out and tired seeing families being hurt and torn apart by these kind of things. And that's what we're trying to talk about. On the 311 Radio Show, we talk a lot about prevention.
You're listening to the 311 Radio Show.
Now, you have a special guest today, and his name is
Mr. Ishaka McNeil.
And he's here to talk about his experience as a fire victim. Now, what was it you really want to ask Ishaka?
I want him to tell the Barbadian public about his experience, what he went through when this fire occurred, how he felt, what was it like for you? Was the recovery process, was it an easy one? Was it because that you are more or less a public figure? Should I say a public figure? A celebrity.
He's in the spotlight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Was it easy to get back on your feet? But still, yeah, people seem to think that, you know what? It can happen to me. But you are, as you said, a celeb, always in the spotlight. Tell people, give them a feel of what it feels like when fire comes. You know, we say a thief carries some, but a fire does what? It carries all. It carries everything in its path. So let them hear it, please. Spare no emotions.
Hi, good afternoon to everybody. Thank you for having me on the program. It's a privilege to be here. Thank you so much, Natasha, for asking me to come on the show to highlight to Barbados, you know, what I went through with my fire. It all happened on November 17th, 2013. It was a day I will never forget. I remember when I got the call because I had left home to go to see my daughter, and I was by her mom, and I got the call while I was there, and I remember my mother calling me and telling me our house just burned down, or, you know, was on fire. My body just went numb. It was something that I never dreamt to happen to me. It was something that I never thought I would have ever experienced. I remember getting to the scene and seeing everything that we worked for, everything that we had accomplished, had gone up in flames, and I was there saying to myself, what is going to be my next move? What's going to be my next, you know, what would I do? I remember I was there standing watching the firemen work, and I mean they were on top of their job that night. I mean, in tutus they had the fire under control, you know, but my family and I had lost everything. It was a heart-wrenching situation. And I always tell people up to this day that this situation has caused me to become more aware of the things in life that are important to us. I always tell people, I remember all the suits, all the clothes, all the shoes they have, you know. Today I don't even worry about those things, but the books, all my theater arts books, all my pictures from when I won teen talent, all the trophies I would have received for different accolades throughout the years I've been performing, all those went up in flames. It took just a matter of seconds. And everything that you worked for, everything that you achieved, everything that you really accomplished was gone in a matter of minutes. Tears flowed from my eyes, and I was like, wow, you know. I remember getting a call from my constituency representative, who is now the Prime Minister of this country, the Honorable Mia Amor Motley. She wasn't even in Barbados, she was overseas, and she reassured me that she was going to help and give me assistance. She said, don't worry about it, I'm going to work things out for you, I'm going to get things put in place for you. And, you know, that sound of reassurance kind of settled me down a bit. Seeing my mother crying, I told her that we're going to work this out, everything's going to work out. And everything was, you know, you know, although we saw what happened, we still reassured each other and ourselves that, you know, this is going to work out. God is going to put everything in place for us. I remember one of my colleagues from work who lived close by, she was there, and tears was flowing from her eyes to see what had happened and stuff like that. And, you know, she reassured me as well that everything is going to be all right. I always tell people, even days after, it was like, you know, has this really happened? Has this really taken place? You know, it was so like, I can't believe this. You have to start all over again. But I want to say that in terms of the recovery process, in terms of getting back on my feet, I mean, I had a great support from many Barbadians. I remember Gina Marshall, she was still at Starcom Network, and she led a drive to a food drive and a clothing drive for me and my family, and, you know, to collect stuff. Starcom collected stuff for me. Then the other entertainers pitched in. I remember one of the most beautiful things I remembered in this whole recovery process is that my friends from school, one night, one of my classmates from school, he called me and told me, man, I come to see you. I was staying in Ford's Road at this time, and he said, I'm coming to you now. And when he came to me, he said, man, you know, we went to school together and we got to stick together. And, you know, he said, this is a token of appreciation for all the guys from at school and the girls from at school. And that one really touched me. The tears started flowing fresh again because, you know, to see that, you know, yes, I'm a person who's accustomed to helping my friends, looking out for my friends, and there it was now holding my back. I mean, I had great support from my cast members of the Laugh It Off family, Mr. Eswick and Cicely. You know, they jumped on board quickly to give me assistance. I mean, so many Barbadians, you know, it was such a wonderful, I guess because too, people might say because I'm a celebrity, I'm well known in society that people came on board, but I believe that it would have been done for anybody else in this society. You know, people coming on board and helping, giving assistance because we have good Samaritans in Barbados. And I always tell people that when you experience fire, it is something that you wouldn't want even for your worst enemy. It's something that is so heart-wrenching. You see all the things that you've worked for, the things that you have achieved, just go in smoke, just go up in flames. And, you know, the Barbados Fire Service was quite cooperative as well, because I had to get back documents, my passport, had to get my ID and everything. My mother had to get her passport. So lucky enough was the Barbados Fire Service lends aid and help in that section by sending letters to the various entities and letting them know that the house fire did take place, persons who you may have bills with and all that kind of stuff to explain them the situation. So they were very, very helpful in that department. But I always tell people that you have to be always preventative of the things such as fire. Fire is something that you always have to know. I'm even extra cautious now in terms of when I'm leaving home. I make sure I don't leave no iron plug in. I always make sure things are plugged out. I always look to make sure the stove is off, the gas bottles, everything is in order. Because at the end of the day, you have to take these preventative measures so that nothing doesn't take place. Because I always tell people to start over again, it's going to be very, very serious. I always tell people it's still a journey that you're on, because a lot of the things that I would like to have now, I don't have now because I lost them in the fire. But one beautiful thing about this, it taught me humility. Not that I wasn't humble before, but it taught me humility. It taught me how to appreciate some of the lesser things in life that you think may not be important. Those things become very, very, very important. And that is as simple as sleeping in the bed that you bought, the own bed that you bought. You know, something as simple as that, you become appreciative of those things. But, you know, getting back on your feet, getting all the help and the love shown to you from people around Barbados, you know, it was amazing. But back to the whole issue with the fire and that kind of stuff, it rips a part of you. It takes a piece of you that you don't expect to be taken from you. It's like a snap of a finger. And I always tell people, you have to be very, very mindful that these things can happen to you anytime, but always prevent these things from happening, making sure you check, make sure you look back, you know, check over things. Those are the important things that you need to do. But I always tell people that dreadful night of November 17th, 2013. I will never, ever forget. I will never forget that night because it was a night where pieces of my life was taken from me that I only have in the back of my brain, you know, as memories. A lot of the books, a lot of the pictures, as I said before, those things are no longer there. So, you know, those are the things that you go through. I always tell people that in life, there are some things that make you understand the true meaning of what life is supposed to be. Not saying that you should go and have a fight to understand what life is all about. But things happen in your life to bring you, to make you more reflective on what life can be, on what things can happen to make you a better individual, make you a more understanding individual, a more humble individual. So those are some of the things that you experience. But for me personally as an individual, I said that having that fire was, it took away the things, the material things, but it gave me the understanding of humility, understanding the things that you cherish in life sometimes, and most value most is your life. And the little things that you should really care about are as simple and minute, you know, as having, you know, one shirt or one pants to wear, you know, that you don't need all the fangle dangle things, something like that you think you deserve.
Wow.
It's not necessary.
No, that was an experience. Ishaka McNeil, man, I mean, who the, as the Americans say, who the thunk?
You know, I thought
it was, who the thunk? You know them starting food. No Trump, and you know you're going to click in dictionary thing. No. Who the thunk? Seriously, I mean, you don't think about, you know, the fire and the experience and all that.
No. Nope.
The same way as when someone comes, you know, and
that's what I'm hoping, that by him talking about it, that it would have gotten over to the public, people out there in the public, you know what? Fire can happen to any one of us. It doesn't pick out who it is going to affect.
That's true. Ryan Austin, boy, the stories that they have out there, that's just one of them.
Of course, this only one.
Well, we're on the 311 radio show, a touching story there, a very engaging story from Ishaka McNeil. Of course, we're sitting in with Natasha Ford, fearless female firefighter Ford, prevention officer, and of course, Ryan Austin, sub-officer and in charge of fire prevention on the 311 radio show. I'm going to leave the last word up to you guys, starting with you. Not ladies first, Ryan. Well, it's the first time you're here, so you're going to start with you first. Last word before, of course, Officer Ford.
Well, I want the people out there to make sure that they keep their surroundings clean and make sure that they're all aware of both the safetyness and the evacuation plans that they have within their house. Make sure that you truly have that plan in motion so that in case of an event of a fire or anything like that, you will know how to make the proper exit with your family to safety.
Yeah, and one more question before you go, Officer Austin. I realize Natasha Ford, Officer Ford, won an award last year. Was it last year she won an award?
Yes.
It was last year?
Yes.
What was that for?
Humanitarian services. This is for work that was done in Tortola during the hurricane season. Yes. So we were honored here in Barbados.
All right.
Those guys, well, me for Tortola, the others that went on with, and the guys that also went to Dominica.
Excellent work from the Barbados Fire Service, going out, not only out of the way, out of the country.
Yeah.
To make sure that everybody's all right. And Tortola, man, they got some houses up in the hills. It ain't easy to get to them.
Tell me about it.
Tell you that straight. So, this has been the 311 Radio Show. Natasha Ford, Officer Natasha Ford, last word for you.
Again, people, please be considerate, be kind to each other, you know, use this time to clean your surroundings. Remember, house fires can also start from grass fires, and last year we had too many grass fires. Let's see if we can lessen those numbers this year. Use other means of getting the job done. Weed whackers are for hire, and remember, fire prevention is our intention.
And I'm KB Clean, proud to host the 311 Radio Show for another time, sitting in for Krista J. Paul. And, of course, this and every Sunday, it comes at 1:30 p.m. Don't you miss it.
That was the 311 Radio Show, as we heard from the Barbados Fire Service. Join us again next week right here on VOB 92.9 FM at 1:30 p.m. for the next edition of the 311 Radio Show.